It is an honor to be here and to show the work. Bible says, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. And boy, I tell you what, the fields are white already into the harvest. And if you get a missionary view in your personal life, man, it'll break your heart. There are billions of souls, and they're dying, and they're going to hell. And man, I wish I would have gotten in it a lot sooner. I wish I would have, at a younger age, gotten right with the Lord and just got on fire for the Lord at a younger age and gotten the book. But you know, God's merciful. God's mercy, as a matter of fact, is what broke my back. And because without that, I don't know if I would ever turn to the Lord. But anyway, praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and open your Bible. And we're going to open up with a word of prayer here, and then we'll get started. Father, Lord, I am needy. God, I need you desperately here this evening, Father. God, as I've said many times before, Lord, I have nothing to offer your people. Literally nothing. Lord, I don't have any wisdom of words. God, I don't have any kind of personality, anything to offer your people, Lord. They're your people. So, God, I ask, I beg and plead with you, Lord, to fill me with your spirit. And, God, help me to speak your truth with the right heart, with the right attitude. God, these are your people here tonight. They need to hear from you. So, please, help me to say what you want me to say, Lord. And I pray it'll be a help and a blessing to your people. We love you, Lord. We want you to know that you're welcome here. Now, we want to hear from you, Lord. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Open up your Bibles this evening to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, and we'll just read one verse here to get started. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 3. The Bible says, "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect to Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt have rule over him." I want to call your attention tonight to verse 3. Verse 3. And it came to, and in process of time. In process of time. That's the title of my message tonight. Process of time. The process of time. You know, most things in life, most decisions that you're going to make are not a split second thing. Most of them, it takes a process. Most things that come about in your life, there's a long process. If you look back, if you meditate on it and think about, how did I get to this point? Why did I say what did I say? Why did I do what I did? There was a process that led up to that moment in your life. And Cain spent months and years, and he was tilling that ground, a long process of time before Genesis 4:3 happened. A long process of time had passed before Cain offered that unrighteous offering that he had. And when you spend time and years with something that you have done, something that you have accomplished, it creates a sense of self-righteousness, self-satisfaction, pride is what it comes to. And that's why it's so hard to lead an old Roman Catholic or Presbyterian or Methodist to the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's a long process of time of my religious works. Look what I've done for all my life. I've met enough in the door and many, many times in Omaha, Nebraska, a very strong Catholic stronghold there. Talking to those Catholics out there, I've been going to St. Thomas the More for 50 years. Well, what does that mean? Well, that's just a long process of time of them going to that church faithfully, going to all the masses, doing all the holy days of obligation, doing all that stuff. And a long process of time goes on and their hearts are hard. And you can give them the gospel, you can give them truth, you can talk to them about heaven, about hell, and it doesn't faze them. You know why? Because a long process of time has hardened that heart. You give them the Bible and truth and they just show you the fruit of the ground. That's what Cain did. He gave God the fruit of the ground. He gave God his works. His years, and that's what the Catholics do, the Lutherans, Presbyterians, even Baptists if you're lost. You can be a Baptist and be lost, you know that, right? And the sad thing that their church membership, their goodness, their righteousness is more valuable to them than what Jesus Christ has done. That's how powerful time is. It can deceive or it can affirm truth. It can heal wounds or it can make them fester. It's all a matter of what you do with time. They say time heals all wounds. That's not true. I've seen people get wounded and they don't treat the wounds and time goes on and gangrene sets in and they lose a leg, they lose an arm. And the same thing happens with Christians. You get wounded in the battle for Jesus Christ. Some Christian hurts you or you fall, you break something, you try something for the Lord and you fail and you get wounded. And if you don't treat that wound, time goes on and it just festers. And bitterness sets in. And that root grows deeper and deeper and deeper. And it's almost impossible to pull that thing out. Time. All in a process of time. Time is something that everyone has. Not everyone has money. Not everyone has a good family. Not everyone has a home to live in. Not everyone has a nice car. Not everyone has good health, all these different things, you name it. But everyone has time. From the lowest person on the totem pole to the richest pariah, everyone is in time. Everyone. Time and chance happen through all, the Bible says. The only difference is the amount of time. You know, the last 5 minutes that you and I went through, the entire universe went through time in sync, in unison. Everybody is in time and everybody has time. And, you know, in the last few minutes, some babies were born and some people passed away. Somebody in the last 5 minutes was laughing and somebody was crying. Some in the last few minutes, I'm sure somewhere in the world there was a wedding. At the same time, there's a funeral. All in a process of time. I hope I'm getting across to you the importance of time. All in a moment of time, our minds can't process all that's happened in the entire, in a moment of time, the entire universe. Think about 7 billion souls. You couldn't possibly process what everybody is going through right now, yet God sees everything. There's not anything that passes the mind of Jesus Christ. He sees it all. And those minutes are now history. Think about that. The last 5 minutes that you and I went through, they're history. They're behind you. You cannot do anything with it. They're written in stone. The present will only last as long as this heartbeat. That's all the time you have promised to you. It's just your heartbeat. You're not promised your next heartbeat. All you have is present time. This is what you have. The time that you're in right now is what you got. Tomorrow is not promised. In a process of time, the heartbeat could stop. Before you, though, lies an unknown amount of time. Are you getting the picture how important time is? You have no idea how much time is ahead of you. There's many illustrations I can pull from of young athletes. You know, promise of a great scholarship and promise of a great future, a great career, the perfect picture of health and all that kind of stuff. And they go driving down the street, get hit by a semi truck and gone. You're not promised, you're not guaranteed any amount of time. Life is measured by a procession of time. Seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years, decades, millennia. We measure life by a procession of time. Time's always with us. Sometimes time is against us. You're racing against the clock. I'm coming down here from Mayo, Michigan, about 2 hours and 47 minutes away. And I thought, you know, I left a little bit earlier than I planned. I thought maybe I'll get here, you know, an hour and a half early. But boy, I mean, every 30 minutes there was a traffic jam. It was just nuts getting down here. And before I know it, I'm racing against the clock just to get here at 4 o'clock when I said I'd be here. Sometimes time is not on your side. Sometimes you've got a deadline to make, you've got a project that's due, or whatever it is, and you're racing against the clock. Sometimes it's for you. Sometimes you have plenty of time. But time is the most important commodity that you have. And everyone has some time. I want to take that word time, and I want to take every letter, and I have a point for every letter. So if you can spell the word time, you know how many points I have tonight. Or if I can spell time, we'll see about that. So number one, letter T, the tenets of time. The tenets of time. Over here in our text, you got Cain, you got Abel, you got Adam, and you got Eve. What they are, they're tenets. You know what a tenet is? A tenant is a person holding land or other real estate under another by grant, lease, or at will. One who has occupation or temporary possession of lands or tenements whose title is in another, a dweller. You know what you and I are? We're nothing more than tenants of time. We're in time. It doesn't belong to us. Time belongs to God, and He's given you what we call a lease on life. And you're just leasing time. You're just a tenant of God's time. And God's the landlord, and He's given you some time on this earth, and our lease on time will vary. Like I said, the amount of time, who knows how much you have. However long your lease is, you ought to make it count. You ought to take the time that you have and make the most of it. Life is a vapor, the Bible says in James 4:14. It appears for a little time and it vanishes away. You ever see vapor coming off of a pot that's boiling? I mean, it rises about 3 or 4 feet and you can grab at it and it's gone. That's your life. It's just a vapor. You don't have much time. You can live to be 80 years, 90 years, 100 years old. Just a vapor. Just a vapor. All the lost sinner knows to do is to make their short time here on earth as comfortable as possible. They eat, they drink, they make themselves merry, and they die. But for you and us Christians, it ought not to be so. Because we're not our own. You're bought with a price. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day, the holy landlord, He's going to come. Or He's going to demand an account of your tenancy. He's going to call you up to that judgment seat of Christ, and He's going to say, what'd you do with your lease on time? You're a tenant. You know your landlord has the right to expect some things of his house? You're a temple, right? You're a temple of the Holy Ghost, right? A landlord will have a renter sign a contract. You ever lease something? Lease a house or an apartment? Or a vehicle. A landlord will have you, a renter, sign a contract. And when the lease is up, he'll inspect the house. And I can remember as a young, I was 17 years old when I first moved out. And I got an apartment with some friends. And boy, we destroyed that thing. And we paid dearly. Let me tell you what. Landlord has a contract for you, and in that contract, he tells you in the contract what he expects his house to look like when your time's up. He has a certain expectations of his house, and he has every right to expect his house to look a certain way. There should not be any holes in the walls. The toilet should be operating just right. There shouldn't be anything wrong. And he outlines for you everything that house should appear at his coming. And Christian, you are a temple. When you come up before that judgment seat of Christ, He's given you a contract there. And He's outlined in that book just what He expects from you. He's got some things in that book. He doesn't want any holes in your doctrine. There ought not to be anything broken in your life that the landlord could have fixed before your lease was up. Hey, the toilet breaks, I understand that, but get on the phone and call the landlord and have him fix it. Folks, Christian, there are some things in your life that's going to just fall apart. It might not even be your fault, but hey, get God on the phone and have him fix it. He'll fix it. There's been some things in my life that have been broken. And I thought beyond repair. And I got on the got on the line, Jeremiah 33:3. I've called him up. I've called on him, and he's answered me. I've got 20-plus years of wasted Christian existence. I got that on my face at one point. I realized if I stood before Jesus Christ, if I died at that moment, I'll stand before Him looking eye to eye, never having read His book. What an awful thing. There were some other things, I won't go into it, in my own personal life that were just broken. But I got on the phone with the landlord, and he's fixed it up. He's still working on me. When your lease on time is up, what will God find? What will God find? And He has every right to expect some things of you. And for you individually and personally, it'll be different. He has some individual plans for you, a perfect will for your life. Are you following it? God forbid you show up at the judgment seat of Christ with a bunch of broken fixtures and holes in the wall. He could have fixed it. Yeah, it might cost some things. He might bill you for the process of fixing it, but at least it's fixed. Christian, get some things fixed in your life. Whatever it is that's missing, whatever it is that's broken in your life, get it fixed. Because you're a tenant of time. You don't own your life, and God expects you to appear a certain way when your lease is up. And your lease will be up at some point. You're just a tenant of time. How's life? How's your tenancy, Christian? Letter I, the illusion of time. The illusion of time. Look at verse 2. Verse 2. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. You know, tilling takes some time. He tilled and he brought forth fruit, and it takes time to till. Of course, you know, way back then, there's no GPS. They don't have the big farm machinery. It's just Cain, the ox, and the plow. In the process of time, Cain began to rely more and more on himself, his ability, his work, his own way. And that long time of hard work and success gave him the illusion that he was okay. All those years of tilling that ground, and he saw the fruit of that ground come up, he begins to think he's okay. His way is the right way. But he didn't realize that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is a way of death. And time has a way of making sinners thinking they're okay. And it just lulls them into this false sense of security. The Bible says because a sentence against an evil work is not quickly executed, the heart of man is fully set in him to do evil. And the process of time goes on, and you're living in sin. Christian, are you hearing me? You got some kind of a pet sin that you just won't let go of, that you won't confess. You won't really repent of that thing. And time goes on, and God's long-suffering, and He's merciful. And He'll put a loudmouth preacher in your path sometimes to jolt you awake and to get you to wake up. But He's merciful and He's long-suffering and He wants you to come back, but He won't go against your will. And process of time goes on, you begin to think, I'm getting away with my sin. Nobody knows. I'm in a room full of Christians and nobody sees what I'm doing behind my closed door. And time can give you the illusion that you're okay. Took a long process of time for Israel to go from worshiping the true God and turning to idols. They completely turned their back on God. I just read through Jeremiah and Lamentations and Ezekiel, and man, oh man. You know, knowing what I know through the Bible, if they only would have listened to the prophets, if they got so hardened in their hearts. That process of time goes on, and Jeremiah rebukes them. The Israelites say, you know, when we were worshiping to the Queen of Heaven, we were okay. We were prospering. Everything was just fine. Process of time gives you illusion that you're okay. You say, I'll never go that far. I'll never let my sin take me that. You're underestimating the illusion of time. You're already under its spell, as a matter of fact. I can remember Fort Bragg. I had a motorcycle, and I can remember just North Carolina is a beautiful state. I mean, the hills and all that kind of stuff. And it was fall time, and Wednesday night rolled around, and you know, I'm going to go to church, and I got off, got released early, so I thought, you know, I'm going to go the long way. So I'm going down there, and I'm just riding on my motorcycle, just going through the hills, enjoying myself. Nothing wrong, nothing sinful. Just enjoying the ride, enjoying the scenery. Just going, you go into those draws, and down there where the creek goes through, it's nice and cool, and you come back up, and it's warm again. It's just beautiful. Loved it. And I'm just rolling around, just enjoying the scenery, and before I know it, I'm in Lillington and all that stuff, and I'm going past there, and I look at my watch, and church starts in 15 minutes, and I'm 25 minutes away. You know what happened? I got caught under the spell of time. I'm just enjoying the ride. I'm just not paying attention. I'm not judging myself. I'm not looking at the watch. And I went further than I expected. Christian, that happens time and time again. It breaks my heart. I could name name after name after name of my friend. My best friend growing up calls himself, I don't know if he still does, but he called himself an atheist for a while. I got siblings that are not living right. You know what happened? Somewhere in the past, they just thought, well, I'm going to hold on to this pet sin. I'm not going to take care of it right now. When I get older, when I have fulfilled my enjoyment with this thing, then I'll get rid of it. And they're caught in the illusion of time. And that sin, that time, it just wraps them up in that thing. Times of prosperity and ease give you the illusion that you're okay. And as you mess around with sin, God holds off the chastening. You start to think you're getting away with it. And the illusion of time will destroy you. And again, I could name name after name. I won't do it. But boy, just illustration after illustration. Prosperous times can be an illusion. So can times of despair, though. The prosperous times you settle on your lees, and you take your ease, and you just let things go on by. You don't take care of whatever you need to take care of in your life. But times of despair can also be an illusion. You get the illusion when you're going through some really rough times in your life. And I don't know anybody here, but I know if I'm speaking to people, I'm speaking to people that have trouble. I'm speaking to people that have problems and heartaches and just things that at the moment you're going through, it seems insurmountable. You go through the awfulest of things. You go through the valleys and all these horrible things can happen. And those times of despair can give you the illusion that God doesn't even care anymore. And I read in Psalms and David says, "Why art thou cast down on my soul?" David's constantly asking, "God, where are you? Are you going to hear me? How long will you hide your face from me?" And the illusion of time takes over and you begin to think, God doesn't care anymore. He cares. Oh, he cares. Boy, he cares. I ran from God for years. And I got myself in a mess. And when I got down and I cried out for mercy, as that song says, mercy came running and met me where I was in a puddle of tears. Oh, he cares. Yes, he cares. But the illusion of time can blind your eyes from seeing his hand. The Bible says, his hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. It's in those times when you can draw the nearest to God. The Bible says, God is nigh to them that have a broken heart. Not he will draw nigh, or just hang on a little bit longer, and maybe sometime in the distant future, I'll draw nigh. No, if you're of a broken heart, he is, present tense, nigh to you right now. And you should take advantage of those times and draw nigh to him. Time can be a hurtful illusion if you get your eyes off the Lord. The M of time, the march of time. Verse 3. And in process, just that word process. The march of time. It's a process. 6,000 years ago, God spoke some words. And he created the heaven and the earth. And 6,000 years ago, God reached over and he clipped that metronome of time. And time has been in step ever since. 6,000 years. 6,000 years ago, God started that metronome of time, and it has not stopped one beat. And it keeps perfect time. It keeps on marching indiscriminately. 6,000 years ago, God created the heaven and the earth, and He created Adam and Eve, and time marched on. Eve saw that fruit. She took of that fruit. Man died, and time marched on. And as time kept marching on, men were born, and men died. Genesis 5. Time just keeps on marching. Time marched on, and Noah came on the scene, and God destroyed every inhabitant of the earth, and time marched on without blinking. Time kept on marching. Time keeps marching in step. It doesn't miss a beat. It's perfectly in sync, and it just keeps on marching. The march of time can seem cruel and cold, and as time marches on, about 2,000 years ago, there was a man named Jesus. He was born of a virgin. He was perfect. He was sinless. All He did was good. He did that which pleased the Father. He was put on that cross. He was put to death for you, and time marched on. It didn't even stop. Time kept marching on, and as the blood flowed from that cross, time just kept on ticking. Oh, the Father sees it. As time marched on, there were some saints that they stood up for, they believed Jesus Christ, they were faithful, they were martyred for Jesus Christ, their blood ran the streets, and time just kept on marching. Bringing up to recent years, you were born into time. You had some troubles some time ago. Loss of a relative, loss of a friend. You had some health problems. You lost a job. And time just keeps on marching, keeps on marching, keeps on marching. The march of time. And it's not going to stop. And it will not stop until one day, the Bible says, time will be no more. Catastrophes happened. Tsunamis and hurricanes and tornadoes and all that kind of thing. And wars. Death and violence, problems of this world, and time just keeps on ticking. It hasn't stopped. It's indiscriminate. Doesn't care who you are or how rich or poor you are. Doesn't care if you're living or dying. It just keeps on marching. And it goes onward. Never does time even take a glance backward. It's set its face forward. God's given it one job to do, and that's just to keep on moving. Keep track of time. Time couldn't care less either way. Whether you have some past accomplishments, okay, good. You sit down and you moan and weep over your failures. Doesn't matter. Time keeps on marching. Your accomplishments are in the past. Your failures are in the past. All you have is right now. And time's marching right this second. And it's going to keep on marching. Doesn't care less either way. It'll never pause and stand by until you get up and move. And you can wallow in your miseries and weep over your past failures and stay down. Or you can sit idle and talk about years gone by. I used to pass out tracts. I used to read the Bible. I used to be faithful to church. I used to pray. I used to do all these things. And time will just march right on by you. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Either scenario, you're wrong. You're sitting down. Time won't go in reverse for good or bad. The only thing that matters is you getting in step now. Right now, Christian. And you can. There's no such thing as a Christian that cannot get up. It's you won't. That Bible says, I can do all things through Christ. Time won't go in reverse. And you got to forget those. I love that verse, boy. When I got right with the Lord, I had a mound of sin. I had a heavy weight on my back. I had multiplied sin upon sin upon sin. I have done some things. I've said some things. I've been some places. I've looked at some things. And I had a weight of sin on my back. But when I got right with the Lord, I came to Philippians 3. And Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forth from those things which are before. I press towards their mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I've been pressing forward ever since. It's time to get up and get in step with time now. The longer you wait, the harder it's going to be for you to get back in step. It's all in the past. Everything you've done, good or bad, forget it. Get your eyes where it's supposed to be, on Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author, and press onward. Get in step with time, because time's going to end eventually. Whatever you did yesterday, Christian, it cannot be undone. It's sealed. You cannot go back into yesterday and change what you did or did not do. You cannot go back yesterday and witness to that lost soul you passed at the gas station and God told you to witness to him. You cannot go back there and do it. You cannot go back into yesterday and undo the things you said or did that were wrong. All you have is right now to say, Lord, I did wrong yesterday, but by your grace, I'm going to get in step now. Because time is marching. It's marching. It's marching. And whether you get in step or not, it's going to keep on marching. All you have is right now. Maybe tonight. I don't know. You might have tonight. You might be able to make it through the night and have tomorrow. I don't know. You might have next week. Who knows? When time marches by, what will it leave behind? What's in your wake? Your life is a procession of time. And every step is just one moment. And I'll tell you what, if you'll get in step with time and find out what God wants you individually to do for him, and you start marching in step with time, before long you're going to look behind you and you'll see a path of righteousness. If you'll get in step now. Get in step and start marching in time with the Lord. Get on his program. The longer you sit, the harder it is to catch up. I recall one of the most awful illustrations I've ever heard Dr. Ruckman give. Talking about, and of course he's way up in the years, in his 90s, so he's got that gravelly, shaky voice. It just adds to it. But he's talking about this woman. She's an old woman, and she's well-to-do. She was saved, but she never did anything for the Lord, and she knew that there were some things that God wanted her to do, but she just didn't do it because she had other things to do. Other plans in her own life. And here she is at the end of her life. She's in a hospital. And she's not going home alive. And she's in the hospital bed. And the nurse comes in there. She checks on this poor old woman that's getting ready to go on home. The nurse leaves for a little while. And the nurse comes back into the room. And here's that old woman. She's standing. He said she was either looking at the mirror or looking out the window, but she's looking, just staring off in the distance, and she's shaking and crying. She's saying, "Bring them back! Bring them back! Oh, bring them back!" And the nurse said, "Bring who back?" And that old woman turned and looked at her, and she said, "Bring back the years, the long, wasted years. Bring them back! I wish I could go back, but you can't go back. Don't end up like that, Christian. Don't end up at the end of your life looking back and saying, I wish I would have gotten in step back then. I wish I would have done what God told me to do. You'll regret it." Time's marching. Whether you get in step or not, it's going to keep on moving. The march of time. Then lastly, the expiration of time. Look at verse 8. "And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him." Time's up for Abel. Time of his life has come and gone. And so will it for all of us one day. Revelation 10:6 says, "One day time will be no longer." For you individually and personally, when does time will expire for you at one point? I like Walt Ziegler. He would say that, I don't know if you've heard him before, but he's a hillbilly from North Carolina. He would say, "When they pull the clocks off the walls and throw the calendars out the window." I like that. "And time will be no more." He would start talking about the Lord and talking about being in heaven. You know, one day we'll be in glory forever. If you're saved here this evening, if you are sure enough washed in the blood, bought by the blood, if you're trusting in Jesus Christ and you're saved, no matter what you do in this life, you will one day be in heaven forever. No more sin. That's probably the thing I'm looking forward to the most other than seeing Jesus Christ. No more sin. I'm sick and tired of sin. My own sin. I'll never offend Jesus Christ again. I'll never grieve the Holy Spirit again. I'll never do anything wrong again. I'm looking forward to that. No more pain. I've got some pain in my back and neck and knees and things like that. Have a headache almost every day for the last several years. No more pain. No more walking around on a cane. No more wheelchairs. No more medication. No more oxygen tanks. No more death. No more tears. No more sadness. Time will expire one day for everyone. But before all time ends, time's going to expire for every individual, for you and me. Your time began at your birth. It'll end at your death. And no one knows how much time lies between the cradle and the grave. You don't know how much time you have. Hey, young folks, listen. I know exactly where you are. I sat where you sat. And I can remember as a young boy thinking, I got all the time in the world. I can remember a time, I think the Lord is dealing with me about preaching under, you know, Pastor Sal's preaching years and years ago as a boy. I went home, I laid on the floor, and I remember thinking about the idea of me preaching, and I laughed out loud, and the Lord just left it at that. I wish I could go back, but I can't, but I have now. One of my favorite verses is, the reference escapes me, but it's in Romans. It says, having a readiness of mind to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Before time expires for you, Christian, are you obeying Him now? If not, now is the time. Now is the time. The time is going to expire regardless of whether you get right with God or not. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this of judgment. Everyone has an appointment with death, and you cannot cancel it. Just about every dentist appointment I get, I try to cancel it. And I regret it about a month or two later when the pain comes back. But you can't cancel an appointment. You can't change it. It might get postponed, like Hezekiah. Maybe. You might die before your time, but one day time will expire for you. And when it does, you're going to appear before God and give an account for the time that you had in this life. You'll have, listen to me, in heaven, you'll have no more time to put your flesh down, take up your cross, and follow Jesus Christ. No more time for that. The only time you have is the very tiny amount of time you have on this earth. That's all God wants. He just wants 80 years or 90, whatever He gives you. That's it. When time expires, that's it. What will you have to show to Jesus Christ? You'll have no more time to do anything for Him. Right now, it's time to make the wrongs right. It's time to earn rewards right. It's time to put a smile on God's face now. But time is running out. Think of, you know, when you're in school and you're taking a test and the teacher says, okay, you've got 45 minutes to take this test. And boy, you're at your desk and you're just, you know, reading the questions and you're trying to answer as fast as you can. You're racing against time and you're just going and going and going and going and going. And I mean, it's like time just goes like that. And all of a sudden you hear the teacher saying, okay, time's up. Put your pencil down. Turn the paper over and turn it in. You know what you're doing right now, Christian? Your life is as a tale that is told, the Bible says, and you're writing down some things. And as you go on in life, it's all being recorded. And sometime, I'm not sure how distant future, for you individually, God's going to say, okay, put the pencil down, turn the page over, and turn it in. And the answers you've answered, that's it. You can't make it right or wrong anymore. Right now you have time to go back and erase the answers you know are wrong and make them right. But eventually time is going to expire. It's going to end. The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop. At late or early hour, to lose one's wealth is sad indeed. To lose one's health is more. To lose one's soul is such a loss that no man can restore. The present only is our own. So live, love, toil with a will. Place no faith in tomorrow, for the clock may then be still. The expiration of time. Time is the most important, precious commodity that you have. And everyone has it. People say, I'm killing time. I'm just killing time. And there's nothing wrong with resting when appropriate, but be careful of wasting time. Just don't waste the time God has given you, because once it's done, it's done. One person said, if you want to kill time, why not try working it to death? That's a good one. When you kill time, here's another quote. When you kill time, remember, it has no resurrection. That's the truth. What are you doing with your time, Christian? What are you doing with the time? Oh, I've got plenty of time, you might say. No, you don't. You're just under the illusion. You're just under the illusion of time. And you think you're okay, but you're under its spell. You might plan on doing right tomorrow, but listen, tomorrow never comes. Because it always gets pushed off to the next tomorrow, and the next tomorrow. And you're not promised tomorrow. And time to do or get right is right now. And, you know, just in a few short hours, today is going to be called yesterday. Think about that. Tomorrow you're going to be saying, well, yesterday, and there's nothing you can do. This week will be called last week. This year will be called last, and so on and so forth. And it's set in stone, it's sealed, and you can't grab it. It's untangible. You can't do anything with it. But what you do have is right now. The great blessing about time is that the time ahead is pure. It's a clean slate. The time that you have in the next 5 minutes, it's a pure, clean, white slate. And what you do with it will determine whether or not it's tainted. You have the choice to get in step, get in march with time, and make it count for the Lord. Or you can choose to just let it go to pieces. Tomorrow is a clean slate. Every second is fresh and untainted. And thank God time can be redeemed. It says redeeming the time, for the days are evil. That's what I've been trying to do the last decade, is just redeem time, revenge disobedience. You know, Peter, the Apostle Peter, he could not go back and unreject Christ. He could not go back when he's at that gate and he realized that he denied his Lord. He could not go back to that fire pit and stand up for Jesus Christ. It's done. But you know, if he would have sat at that gate and continued weeping and never stopped weeping over his past failure, he would have never had a Pentecost. You know what he did? He got in step with time. Right. And he went forward. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what's in the past. You can move forward. And you can have a Pentecost. You can have some things that God will do with you, through you, to you, and for you. But you got to get moving. Don't waste time and worried about past sins. Just go on. You're just a tenant of time. God's given you a lease on life. If you're living in sin, don't get the illusion you're okay. You need to ask God to search you. And time is marching on, and if you don't seize it for the Lord, you'll be ashamed when time expires. You only have so much time. Do you really want to spend the time that you have in bitterness, in covetousness, and envy, in deceit, and lies, and anger? Time, folks, time is so precious, and it's fleeting. It's passing you by. Seize the time you have.